You, folks, the question is, are you as an individual standing at a distance? Have you ever stopped to think how important it is for that human relationship, again, like I mentioned a while ago? Your kids need it. The kids need a hug every so often. You got to watch it. You got to make sure the kids know your name because your brother-in-law forgets it. It's important for us to have that relationship. Now, what makes people stand at a distance? Normally, it's fear. Fear of failure. If I get involved and I fail, it's fear that controls so much of our emotions. I wanted to say this when they were speaking about that. Well, why didn't you? I was afraid. I was afraid they'd think I was a little far out. Well, listen to me, Christian. You're a lot far out. You got me? You, as a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, and that Jesus is the Son of the living God. You believe that God became his Son to come on earth to live as a human being, to know how you feel, to know your hurts, to know your pain, to know your sorrow, and then you take that and you add every personality that has ever existed or ever will exist. And Jesus, the one you believe in, you believe that he took that and he went to a cross to pay the penalty for sin. Your sin. My sin. Individually. You believe that. You believe that he hung on that cross. He died on that cross. Oh, let me remind you, though. He told them, no man takes my life from me. I lay down my life on my own. And he looked to the Father. Father, Daddy, I commit my spirit to you. And the scripture says that he then died on the cross, meaning the body. Was it physically dead? You better believe it. His body was taken down, put in a tomb. You, Christian, believe that on the third day, just like Jesus said, on that third day, Jesus arose from the grave. You believe that. And you also believe he's coming back for you, the church. I believe that. That means to the world we are far out there. We're a tad shaky. I got news for you. It's the world that's shaky. It's the world that's shaking. It's evil that has come into every aspect of your life, has it not? You don't know who to trust. You have no idea who to believe. We're getting a pretty good look at the ones we don't believe and who they are. But there's more going on. There's more to life than living. And there's more to death than dying. That's the Christian's attitude. You see, I'm living in this life, but there's more to life than I understand. There's more to the pain that you go through or your friends going through. There's more to that pain and that sorrow as you see it than you understand. You see, because God is at work. Don't believe because all hell had broken loose in our nation. All hell's been broken loose throughout the rest of the world. All hell has been broken loose since the beginning of time. Right out of the Garden of Eden. From that garden of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, two boys were born. Those two boys began to fight. Cain killed Abel. And God comes looking for his children. Do you know what God said? His blood cried out. That was your key to understand. It will be by the blood. The blood cries out for victory and for freedom. The blood of your brother cried out from the dirt. A power in that blood, Brother Randy. Because it's a blood that God gives you. And when you say yes to Jesus Christ, man, have you had a transfusion? Woo! You're looking good on the inside. You got royal blood running in your veins. And from that beginning, we have seen bitterness and hatred, brother against brother, father against son, family split, hatred here, hatred there. What's going on? Too many individuals, too many Christians, too many of us have stood at a distance when we should have spoken up. I didn't know what to say. And here's what I ask you, Christian. Did you ask God to give you the words? Sometimes God tells you to be quiet. He tells me that often. Be quiet. But when he says speak, I have learned over the years I better speak up. Because God's paying attention to you as an individual. I don't care how old you are. It is not the age. Young or old as dirt like your pastor. Any of that. See, that's not the point. The key is to hear the voice. Don't stand at a distance. For to stand at a distance means that you don't want to get involved. Book of Obadiah, 21 verses. Powerful. Shortest book in the Old Testament, Brother Randy. Powerful. Obadiah, prophet. Where'd it come from? Well, we're not sure. But he sure, when he spoke, he was a powerful word from God. And he comes down to pronounce God's finding of judgment against Edom. They're called Edomites. I call them Edomites. It flows better for me. The Edomites. Doesn't that flow better, Brother Andy? Absolutely. Yeah. So therefore, Edom, well, where did it come from? Edom came from Esau. If you remember Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, Abraham, the father of the Hebrew nation, the father of the Jewish nation. You got it? Okay. And then Isaac, and born to Isaac and Rebekah, were twins. Jacob and Esau. If you've read the scripture, you know that how Jacob, Esau was coming out of the womb first, and Jacob grabbed a hold of him, pulls him back into the womb, and Jacob is coming out on the heels of Esau. He is one who is trying to cheat his way. But God looked at Jacob and said, Jacob, you're going to be my man. Esau had committed a great sin against God. He decided to sell because he was hungry, his birthright to his brother for a bowl of red soup. I don't know whether it's camels or not, but it was red soup. And because he sold that birthright, you hear today Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Edom are the descendants of Esau. Edom was looking at Israel. Israel was fighting the Canaanites and all the other nights. You got it? All the battle was raging. They come against them. Edom, which is related to Israel, turned their back on the misfortunes of their brother. And this is Obadiah, the prophet, telling them, you shouldn't have done that. And listen to the charge. Obadiah verses 10 through 17. Because of the violence you did to your close relatives in Israel, you will be filled with shame and destroyed forever. Edom no longer exists. Not even sure where Edom was. They guess at it, but it's desert now. The descendants of Edom no longer exist because of sin directly against God, because they refuse to help their brothers in trouble. When they were invaded, you stood at a distance. You see that? When they were invaded, you stood at a distance, refusing to help them. You refused. God says, I want you to help one another. You cannot help me if you stand at a distance from my hurt and my pain. I need help in my hurt and my pain. I don't need help in the fun stuff. I'm doing just fine. When you're having fun, you don't want to be bothered, right? Hey, leave me alone. I'm doing just fine. It's in the hurting times. But it's in that very time when so many who call themselves your friends will stand at a distance and watch. I don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you one thing. Pray. You pray for your pastor. You see, the greatest power that a pastor or any man of God can ever receive is through the prayer power of those who remember them in their prayer. It is the prayer of each individual Christian for one another. God listens to. He says that he does. When they invaded you, you stood at a distance refusing to help them. Foreign invaders carried off their wealth. Then they cast lots to divide up Jerusalem. But you acted like one of Israel's enemies. You stood at a distance. I'm not to blame here. It's those enemies that are attacking Israel. I have done nothing on this. You're right. Edom did do a lot of evil. But they saw themselves as free as not. They saw themselves as, I did nothing wrong. You met those kind of people? I done anything wrong. My wife sinned, but I didn't. You know, always blaming it or handing it to someone else. Let them do it. Sometimes, God's not looking at them. God's looking at you. And he's telling you, you do it. You cannot do what God's called me to do. I cannot do what God has directed and called you to do. I cannot do it because God called you. So therefore, it's our responsibility as an individual, but Edom knew better. Do you ever think, and maybe now you may have had this in your mind at one time. Maybe not, but I believe that you probably have. Somebody has done such wrong to you that you're just waiting for the hammer to fall on them. Now, Lord, I love them. And, Lord, I know that what I'm supposed to say, I want no harm to come to it. But now, Lord, when you get ready to zap them, can I just see a little bit of it? I mean, when a hammer comes down, I don't want you to squish them, Lord, but I want you to make them wish they had been. See, that's an attitude. You and I, as Christians, don't have a right to have. God knows what he's doing. God even knew what he's doing when he created me. He knows what he's doing when he created your personality. Only your personality is going to relate to another type of personality. You got that? Therefore, remember, Edom, you sinned by standing at a distance. You should not have gloated when they exiled your relatives to distant lands. Now listen to all these you should not have. You ready? You should not have rejoiced when the people of Judah suffered such misfortune. You should not have spoken arrogantly in the terrible time of trouble. You should not have plundered the land of Israel when they were suffering such calamity. Well, Lord, we didn't do anything. We stood at a distance. We drove Israel back to slaughter. Then we come in, and they scavenged the bodies of their own brothers. Got everything off of them. You should not have plundered the land of Israel when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have gloated over their destruction when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have seized their wealth when they were suffering such calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads killing those who tried to escape. How'd they do that? They stood there, and the Israelites thought that they were the enemy, and they turned back to the slaughter. And God said, you're just as guilty as the one who did it. You should not have captured the survivors and handed them over in their terrible time of trouble. You should not have stood at a distance. You should have taken part in the hurt and the pain and the agony of your brother. You should be ready and willing to hold them as they're dying. When the pain of life has gripped them psychologically, if you are not the kind of Christian that will stand strong with them and help them to work through that pain, God have mercy on your sin-sick, hard-hearted Baptist soul. Because we are called by God. And God looks to the hurt of his children. And God looks to the brokenness. And you know what he said, Brother Randy? No matter what. No matter what. I'll be there. No matter what you've done. No matter what. Thanks again, folks. So God says to us, I want you to know that I'm watching. Everything that is going on, God pays attention to. Every hurt that you have, God pays attention to. Every broken part of you on the inside, psychologically, or whatever the situation is, God pays attention to. Knowing then that God pays attention to it, why don't we ask God to bless this situation, whatever it might be? God says, call on me. And you need to understand it. He's already here. You know, God doesn't have to come down. He's already here. You have Jesus as your Savior. Where Jesus is, God is. Where Jesus and God is, the Holy Spirit is. You got all of God you're ever going to get. Our problem is giving God all of us. Well, Lord, I'll give you this part. Well, hang on to this part. I know, Lord, you gave me common sense, but I'm going to get on that Harley every chance I get. I don't want to tempt you, Lord, but I know you love me. There's power in that. There's a little wisdom there for us also. Verse 15, the day is near. Now listen to this. The day is near when I, the Lord, will judge all godless nations. Have you noticed we have an element in our country that wants to make America godless? Kick everything God out of school. Well, where's that got us? Where's thou shalt not kill? Well, hide that part. We're watching slaughters in the streets today. As you have done to Israel, so it will be done to you. All your evil deeds will fall back on your own heads. Count on it. Just as you swallowed up my people on my holy mountain, so you and the surrounding nations will swallow the punishment I pour out on you. Yes. All you nations will drink and stagger and disappear from history. But Jerusalem will become a refuge for those who escape. It will be a holy place, God's place. And the people of Israel will come back to reclaim their inheritance. Herod Agrippa. Remember him? Herod Agrippa was the last known Edomite that existed. He was not very wise to go against our Savior. But that was the period that God showed us. Herod Agrippa, go ahead, you declare. And then the finger of God comes down. Thus saith the Lord thy God, my son will rise again. And it did. That's a great story. A truthful story. But you haven't heard the end of it. He's coming back for you and me. Right now he lives and indwells us to give us the courage and the boldness and the strength to walk through an everyday life. Be patient. He's coming. But for your needs right here today, you don't have to wait. He's already here. Ask him. Pray that he will take over your life. When you know you've messed it up, The Lord has a way of straightening us up that no better friend could ever do for us. Lord, here I am. I'm a mess, but I know for sure I'm God's mess, Brother Randy. I belong to Him. Don't mess with a child of God. Read the book. Better yet, invite Jesus into your heart. Lord, I realize that I'm lost. Lord, forgive me. Here am I, Lord, save me. And He will. He will. But I don't know any scripture. I'm not talking to you about scripture. I'm talking to you about a person. His name is Jesus Christ. I'm not into religion. I'm into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm saved by a man named Jesus. I'll be carried in to my heavenly Father by a man who said, "Dad, this is Larry Pete, remember? I told you about him." And do you know, Jesus will be the only personality in your life that will ever speak with absolutely no denigration, no harm to you. All is positive. The Lord's going to shine me up and present me to His Father, saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And folks, it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We ask the Lord God now that as You give us the wisdom and the power not to stand at a distance, that we truly, dear Lord God, will stand strong for You. That we truly, dear Heavenly Father, will lift our heart to You and ask for that guidance that we will need. Touch each of us now, Father, as we go forth from this building, but that we do not go forth from Your presence. Give us that blessing now, Father, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.